The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Radio Memories Network is brought to you in part by Liberated Syndication. Podcast publishing made easy. Libsyn.com. That's LIBSYN.com.
This episode is from a collection of Christmas mysteries. We hope you enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we near the start of the happy holiday season, the Blue Coal Dealers of America wish you, the members of their vast unseen audience, the merriest Christmas ever. And they present as their special Christmas gift to you a heartwarming Yuletide adventure of the Shadow. Before the Shadow starts his adventure, I'd like to add my Christmas greetings to those of the Blue Coal Dealers of America. You know, their product, Blue Coal, is the modern equivalent of the old-fashioned Yule log. You can depend upon Blue Coal to bring warmth, good cheer, and comfort to your home 24 hours of the day. And with each order of Blue Coal is included the free extra home heating service of your friendly Blue Coal dealer. Is your bin well filled for the holidays? If not, phone your neighborhood Blue Coal dealer first thing in the morning. The Shadow, mysterious character who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. As the Shadow, Cranston is gifted with a hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so that they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible Shadow belongs. Today's drama, Joey's Christmas Story.
Was there any particular destination you was wanting me to drive you to, Mr. Cranston, hey?
I'm looking for little Joey, the newsboy.
Oh, well, if it's a paper you want, I could stop at any...
No, we're looking for Joey, Treevy. We have a special date with him that we keep every Christmas season.
Oh, you mean like a rendezvous, huh?
That's right, Treevy. Every year for the past three seasons, we've taken Joey on a tour of the toy sections of all the department stores.
Oh, well, now, ain't that nice. You know, this time of year, I get wishing I was a kid again myself. Ain't that silly?
No, of course not, Treevy. We all feel that way.
You know, my friend and acquaintance, Big Charlie, of whom you have heard me speak?
Yes.
Well, him and me used to have some fun at Christmas time when we was kids. That is, till Big Charlie spoiled it.
Well, how was that?
Well, he got us banned from all the toy departments in the stores.
Why?
Oh, just on account of one pinchy little thing he used to do.
Well, what was it?
Giving Santa Claus a hot foot.
That was a fine thing to do.
Oh, look, Lamont. There's little Joy on the corner. Stop your cab, Shrevey, will you?
Hey, Mr. Cranston. Gosh, I thought maybe you wasn't coming.
Well, how are you, Joey?
I'm fine, thanks. Hello, Miss Lane.
Hello, Joey.
Are you all set for our little excursion, Joey?
Well, I still have a couple of papers left.
Oh, well, how many papers have you?
Let's see. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11. 11 I got.
11, eh? Well, do you think $5 would pay for them?
Gosh, $5? Gee, Mr. Cranston, you shouldn't give me that much sugar.
Now, throw your papers away and we'll hop into the cab.
Well, would you mind if I don't throw them away? Well, I mean, it's being almost Christmas and everything. Well, I like to give them away to some certain people who couldn't maybe afford to buy one.
Why, sure. Go ahead, Joey.
Gosh, thanks again, Mr. Cranston. Hey, Willie, here's a paper. Compliments to Joey.
Oh, he's
just swell kid. Look at him. You'd think he was giving away $1 million.
That's just about what it is to him, too.
Yeah, that kid is a regular character. I hope he saves a paper for me, hey?
Oh, Shrevey, I don't think you're on his charity list.
That's what I get for owning a cab.
Ma, I got rid of more but one, Mr. Crimp.
Well, good. Let's get into the cab.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, why'd you save the one paper, Joey?
Oh, that's me old friend Hobo Sim. He gets a lot of good out of a paper.
Really? How's that?
Well, when he finishes reading it, he wears it inside his shirt to keep warm. And the evening record's the warmest paper in town.
They should advertise that.
As I says before, that kid's a character, huh? Hey?
Well, you tell us where Hobo Sam can be found, and we'll stop off there before we go to the store.
He's down the street away. Hey, look, there's my pop. Hey, would you please go slow past this corner, Mr. Shrevey?
Oh, sure thing, sure thing.
Every little bit helps, thank you.
Hiya, Pop!
Hello, son.
Huh. See, doesn't he look nice, though? I bet you that he's the best-looking street corner Santa Claus in the whole world.
Joey, how long has he been doing that job?
Oh, ever since the holiday season started. He kind of needed a job, too. You see, he ain't been able to get much work the last couple of years.
Well, it's good that he's found something at Christmas time anyway, Joey.
Yeah, that's what I told him. But the money he's been making on this job is going out for back rent and bills and things. It ain't really Christmas money.
Oh, so your prospects for Christmas are still none too bright.
Well, Mr. Cranston, I ain't worried. Pop will find some way for us to have a good Christmas. You see, when he's worried like of anything, me and him take a walk down by the docks. We sit on the pier and watch the water going by. You know, Pop says that watching the water like that makes him all easy inside again. See, I like going down there with him. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, Joey.
Well, I figured you'd probably... Hey, look! There's Hobo Sam. Hey, will you stop a minute, Mr. Shrevey?
Yeah, to be sure, to be sure.
Hey, Sam, wait a minute. I got something for you. Excuse me, please. I'll be right back.
All right.
I got a paper for you, Sam. Lots of ads in it, too. It's practically an overcoat.
Oh, Lamont. I wish there was something that we could do for Joey's family as well as for him.
We will, Marco. We will do something. But it can't be charity. They're much too proud to accept that.
But there must be some way to help, though.
We'll find a way. Leave it to me.
Okay, I'm ready, Mr. Clancy.
Well, how did Hobo Sam like the paper?
Uh-huh.
I say, was he glad to get the paper?
Oh.
Hobo Sam.
Oh, Hobo Sam, yeah.
Well, what's the matter, Joey? You seem worried.
Well, I just found out something from Hobo Sam.
Oh, what?
He just told me that the father of one of the kids I run around with was on his way to a house on Water Street to murder a guy.
What?
A guy murdered, did he say, hey?
Did you get the address?
Yeah, 18 Water Street.
Well, we better notify the police at once.
There ain't time for that, Mr. Cranston, but you could help.
How?
Well, you got a reputation as a gentleman detective-like, and you could do something about this yourself.
Well, I...
What is a guy being murdered, Mr. Cranston?
Very well. Shrevey, 18 Water Street, and hurry.
You got the right address, Joey. This is just an old deserted warehouse.
I know this is the right place, Miss Lane. A lot of the men come here to play cards and stuff.
Well, we'll see what's in this room here. Come on.
Lamont, look at this room.
Yes. Furniture broken and strewn all over the room. Well, there's been a fight here, all right.
Yeah, this must be the place. This must be it.
Look, right there. Blood on the floor.
Yes, I see it. No sign of a body, though.
No sign of a body, though. No.
Joey, what are you doing?
Oh, just making notes in my notebook. I like to keep a record of how a detective works.
This room looks as if a dozen men had staged a brawl here.
Looks like a dozen
men. More notes, Joey?
Yes, sir.
I can't make head or tail of this thing. Dozens of clues and no evidence.
Come on, look here.
Hey, what is it, Margo?
Note, I found it on the floor.
And what does it say?
Hurry to 19 West Street before another disaster occurs.
Well, that's a mighty convenient message. They must have been expecting help. Come on. We're going to 19 West Street.
Well, there's the number. 19 West Street. And I am tempted to add in a very unusual neighborhood this address is in.
Yeah, it's just an old boarded-up tenement house.
Well, let's have a look.
How can we even get into the place? The doors are all barred.
Yes. We may have trouble forcing an entrance.
Hey, you think maybe the body's in there, Mr. Chris?
I never make predictions in a case like this, Joey.
No predictions. Hey, how do you spell all predictions, Mr. Trent.
Oh, please, Joey, forget your notebook for a moment, will you?
Yeah, but it's all in a line of duty, Mr. Trent.
Lamont, look up there by that window. There's a piece of paper tacked to it.
Oh, yes. Get it for me, will you, Joey?
Yes, sir.
Lamont, what is all this about?
Margot, I haven't the slightest idea.
Here you are, Mr. Cranston. It's a note, all right.
All right, let me have it. Please come at once to 66 Broom Street. Urgent.
Hey, that's my address. That's where I live. Hurry, will you? Hurry!
Right on this floor. Up here's a sort of a storage place, like kind of an attic.
Oh, I suppose we better look up there.
Oh, Joey, what are you doing home so early?
Oh, hello, Mom. I'm working on something.
Oh, again,
look, Mom, please, please. This here is Miss Lane, Mr. Cranston.
How do you do, Miss Lane?
How do you do?
Did your Pop get home yet?
Well, you know he has another hour to work in the corner. And what are you up to now, young man?
We think there's a dead man up in the attic.
A dead man? Glory to heaven.
No, don't be alarmed, Mrs. McNulty. It's just a superstition.
Well, whatever it is, I don't like it.
Oh, don't you really think that there's a dead guy up there, Mr. Cranston?
No, I don't think so, Joey.
Yeah, but them notes and the blood and everything in the warehouse.
What about them?
Well, don't that mean somebody's dead?
Not necessarily.
But it does in all the detective stories.
You read detective stories, do you, Joey?
Well, sure. I'm surprised at you, Mr. Cranston. I always thought that when a detective saw blood and everything...
But I'm not even sure it was blood.
It was so blood.
How do you know?
How do I know? Didn't I cut my own finger?
I suspected as much.
Yeah, but wait a minute. What I meant to say was... What I mean...
You mean you staged this whole thing just for our benefit, didn't you?
Joey, did you do that?
Well, maybe I sort of did it that.
What did he do? What are you up to now, young man?
Just a little game that Joey played on us, Mrs. McNulty. A game that sort of backfired.
Oh, gee. And I thought I had it planned so good.
You did, Joey. You just made one mistake.
Only what? What?
Those notes were all in your own handwriting. The same handwriting you used in your notebook.
What do you know? Am I a dope?
What was that?
Joey, is this part of your game?
No, honest. I don't know nothing about that.
Well, we better have a look up here in this attic. Wait there, Margot.
Hey, I'm coming with you. That's the door right ahead.
Oh.
Gee, it's Mr. Murphy.
Oh, he's been hit on the head. Say, that's a nasty wound. Who is he, Joey?
Well, Mr. Murphy's sort of the rich guy here in the neighborhood. And he's the meanest and stingiest one, too.
Oh, I see. What happened? What happened to you, sir?
It's hit on the head.
Well, who did it?
I don't know. Blow came from behind. Hit me. Robbed me.
Hey, look, here's his pocketbook on the floor.
Well, let me see it, Joey.
Here you are.
Well, there's still some money in it. $10. How much money did you have, Mr. Murphy?
$75.
Oh, that's strange. If it was robbery, why did your assailant leave you the $10?
I don't know.
Hey, he's passed out again.
Well, I wonder how the person who attacked him made his getaway. There are no windows in this room, and we were at the only door.
Gosh, then it must have been...
Oh. Huh? What were you going to say?
Nothing.
It must have been who, Joey?
I didn't say nothing.
Very well. You'd rather not tell me. We'd better get Mr. Murphy down to your apartment at once. Well, the wound isn't serious, but... It might not be wise to move him until a doctor has had a chance to look him over.
I'll phone for Dr. Collins right away.
Oh, thank you very much, Mrs. McNulty. Thanks. Now, Margot, if you could get me some hot water, please.
I didn't know you were home.
Gee, Pa.
I guess you were so busy cooking you didn't hear me come in.
Well, no, Pa. I'd have seen you.
Hey, Pop, come on in here.
Hello, son. What's going on here?
Mr. Murphy, he got hit and robbed.
Oh, well, no, that's too bad.
Yeah, these are friends of mine, Pop. Miss Lane and Mr. Cranston.
How do you do, Miss McNulty?
How do you do?
Mighty glad to know you folks.
Well, I think we better be getting along, Joey.
Yeah, I guess maybe you had.
But let's make a date now to go to the stores tomorrow afternoon, shall we?
Oh, sure, thanks.
Goodbye, Joey, Miss McNulty.
Sure.
Bye.
What do you suppose happened to that man, Lamont?
I'm not quite sure yet. There are several things that are obviously not on the up and up.
Wait a minute. What do you mean?
Well, first of all, why should the crook, whoever he was, leave $10 in the man's purse?
Yes, I thought of that.
And secondly,
How did he make his escape from that loft? And why was little Joey so upset by it? He almost revealed something to me up there, and then he changed his mind.
Why do you suppose Mr. McNulty acted so strangely?
I'm just as curious about that as you are, Margot. I don't believe his story about coming into the house unnoticed. Tomorrow, Margot, we're going to stop at Mr. McNulty's corner and have a little talk with Santa Claus.
The fall of Mont Cranston interviews Santa Claus. Put yourself in his place just a moment. If you had the privilege of a personal interview with Kris Kringle, what would you ask him to bring you? Well, maybe you ladies would ask him for handkerchiefs, and possibly you gentlemen would put in a bid for some neckties. But if Santa Claus should bring you a sack full of blue coal, that would bring real Christmas cheer to ladies and gentlemen alike. For blue coal is America's finest hard coal. It burns better, banks better, distributes steady, long-lasting, convenient heat from cellar to attic of your home. And then supposing you got a blue coal automatic heat regulator, neatly done up in a special holiday wrapping. Then you'd be doubly lucky, for you'd have the perfect heating combination for economy and comfort. Blue coal and a blue coal automatic heat regulator. But if you don't get the opportunity to interview Santa Claus personally, here's